Broadcasting from London, England, to Europe and around the world.
Your music moved me.
Nothing like a good movement.
On the World Wide Web. AR FM.
Hi, this is Michel from Synth.nl, and you're listening to Sunday Synth on AR FM.
If you've been following the music of Synth.nl since the debut album Aerodynamics back in 2007, then you'll be familiar with the sounds you've just heard. Since then, Michel van Ossenbruggen has released the solo albums Atmosphere and an Oceanography, and at the beginning of this month, his fourth album called Apollo was released again through Groove Unlimited. So on today's Sunday Synth, I'll be speaking to Michel about the album and also hearing his views on some of the controversial ongoing topics involved around the moon landings, and of course hearing tracks from the album.
So that's the way it seems. So
stick around over the next 2 hours for this Synth.nl Sunday Synth special, and that's not easy to say.
Hi, this is Michel from Synth.nl. You are listening to my latest album, Apollo. For this album, I was inspired by the moon missions that NASA undertook during the 60s and 70s. Since I was born in 1969, the same year that Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon, I've always felt very strong connection to this event. Listening to this album, you'll take a voyage from the Earth to the moon and back again. Many of the astronauts that actually took this journey have stated that they went up there to discover the moon, yet really discovered Earth. And now I hope you enjoy Launchpad.
You're listening to Sunday Synth here on ARFM, and we're here today listening to tracks from the latest album by Synth.nl, and I'd like to welcome back to the programme for the second time. This is Michel van Ossenbruggen. Hello, Michel.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for inviting me again on the show.
Thanks for coming on the programme again, my friend. The last time we spoke was back in the summer of 2009, just before the release of Oceanography. Since then, you've been very busy as usual, collaborating with Ron Boltz on the excellent Refusion Vert, plus contributions to the Schallplatt and Dutch Masters compilations. And now, of course, the reason you're here to speak is about the new album Apollo. You never seem to stop working. That's an album every year since 2007.
Yeah, I know it's a lot, but I just love doing it, and I'm still full of good ideas, and I just don't even have time enough to work on them all, but I do what I can, and sometimes I just, plan a release with Ron Boltz together, and, deadlines are never nice when they come close, but, at least I need them to be productive and to get the stuff done. Otherwise, I just keep doing new and new stuff, so, I'm happy that, another album is finished, and, it's always nice to have the final product in your hands when it's done.
Which I actually have right now. And obviously the new album was inspired by your fascination with the moon missions, Michel. And I think I know which side of the argument you'll be on here, but the moon landing conspiracies, which have been causing all sorts of arguments for decades now, and still rage on. Most of the arguments have been created through the film and photographic evidence that, frankly, do still pose problems in your mind. For instance, the flag blowing in an apparent breeze where there is no atmosphere, and how the landing sites seem to be quite undisturbed. Questions like that are always going to be asked. What's your view on the subject?
Yeah, I've seen some of these documentaries as well, and of course, since I announced that I was going to do this album, I also got some reactions in this sense, people telling me that it never happened and stuff, but Well, my opinion is very simple. I've seen a lot of proof as well that it did happen, and even just imagine when it would be a whole fake, and I think it would even be a bigger achievement that they actually went up there. So it can't have been. I'm sure there were so many people involved, and everybody would have to keep their mouth shut. I can't believe that. The whole government would just stage something like this, and well, they just didn't do it once. I mean, that would have been enough then to beat the Russians, but they did it several times. So why put up all the hassle then when they could have just done it once and get it in the history books and get it over with? But on the other hand, I've seen some strange pictures, and I'm quite sure that there has been some tampering with marketing material, but let's be honest, I think every big company at this moment is doing the same thing to make everything look a little bit better, and so it doesn't necessarily have to be proof that they didn't win there. Well, they could have just made it a little nicer than it actually was I'm 99.9% sure that they were up there, and let's say it like that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I've also seen some individuals on TV who've claimed to have been involved in the cover-up, but again, no proof. And until it's proved without doubt, then, it's going to carry on, I think, and there's still quite a few years in this story yet. I was watching another documentary on the conspiracies just the other week, and one very good point made on the programme was by Buzz Aldrin, who said that if there was the slightest doubt about what had happened, then surely the Russians would have been quick to pick up on this, and that's a good point.
Yeah, I think he's right there. I think the whole space race was a political thing, and everybody was trying to score good points, and well, the Russians, they had all the means and all the motivation to put the Americans in a bad spotlight, and they didn't. They actually confirmed that they tracked the Americans up there. So why would they lie, and why would they say that? I mean, they had nothing to gain from that. So I think that's a good point. I think that the fact that the Russians, well, just stood there and acknowledged it says enough.
Okay, let's hear some more music from Apollo.
And here is Apollo 7.
Seconds and counting. We still are go at this time. Coming up on 1 minute. Mark, T-minus 60 seconds and counting. We are go for Apollo 7 at this time.
Certainly over the next decade or so, Michelle, we should find out just how serious humans are about future space travel. You know, the ISS is now complete. I read about a possible Japanese moon base. Once again, we seem to be gathering momentum about space flight and possible colonization, a bit like the years prior to 1969.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. It's just sad to see that especially NASA at this moment is very troubled by, well, a budget cut, and the Americans don't seem to do very well in the economy, so I'm not sure what they can do. But they just announced a new, well, big rocket and actually plans to travel with humans to Mars, so that's quite ambitious. And I also like the fact that there's more and more commercial companies going into the space travel, and maybe we can go up as space tourists in the near future. And for certain, if I have the chance, I will certainly do that. It must be a tremendous experience. So, we'll see what happens.
So getting away from the controversial aspect and onto the music, I guess this has been a long-held ambition to make an album about these voyages.
Yes, I was born in 1969, so I have always felt very connected to the moon landing event, and well, it was on my list for a long time, but I just had some other things I wanted to do first. But it's quite a personal thing for me, and I know some people don't think the subject is very well unique, but for me it was. I didn't go into space yet with my music, and I'm quite happy that I did this project, to be honest.
Okay, and what's coming up now, Michel?
I hope you enjoy Apollo 8.
You know, when I heard you were making an album about the moon missions, I thought it might have been an album of space music, you know, planetarium-like. Instead of that style, though, the music reflects the ultimate adventure, dangers and excitement these men undertook. That's how I interpret it anyway, Michel. Is that what you set out to do?
Well, I'm glad you experienced it this way, because that was exactly what I meant to bring across. I think it must have been a tremendous experience and very exciting, and there were so many things that could go wrong, and basically these guys were risking their lives all the time during these missions. So I can imagine that there were some moments where they felt relaxed, and that's also what I tried to bring in the whole story of the album. But I think most of the time the events were quite dangerous and exciting, so that's mainly what you hear, and I hope other people can hear that too. And here is Orbit.
We heard the track Orbit just before the break, Michel, and you mentioned that there must have been moments of relative calm for the astronauts after the initial liftoff, and I got that impression halfway through that track.
Yeah, it was just the way I thought that it would be like. I just imagined myself in this rocket, and you're basically sitting on a very big pile of explosives, and they just ignited under you, and then, you go up, everything is shaking and rumbling, and very tense and very violent, and then, at a certain moment these engines are just burned up, and you're floating in space, and it must be a relief, because the launch is certainly one of the most dangerous parts of the whole flight. So at least they survived that, and then you look out and then you see the beautiful blue marble floating in space, which is called Earth, and I can imagine that only the look on the planet from a distance like that, it should have been rewarding enough to take the journey at all. So this trick I could relate to very easily, and I hope I got these emotions over.
All right, Roger, it's out there, and we're turned around and proceeding with the station keeping and docking.
Oh, tremendous, Palmer. Thank you.
Command and service module has separated from the third stage, has turned around, and is now station keeping.
Fella.
Roger, copy that.
I do like the fact that you didn't just concentrate on the Apollo 11 missions, the one most people know of, instead paying tribute to some of the other major moments in the program as well as the actual landing.
Yeah, the whole album is basically two stories running through each other. One is the travel from, well, launch until splashdown, and the other one is the whole history of the missions. I didn't have room to take them all, of course, but I took the major ones, and especially Apollo 7, 8, 9, and 10 were, well, kind of test flights and preparation and everything. They took a step closer to the actual moon landing. And even after the landing, they also did some new stuff on the until the latest mission, what was Apollo 17. So I think eventually they were all important. And some missions are of course more well known than others, especially Apollo 13, because, well, if something goes wrong, the media always have full attention on it. So it's kind of revived the whole program, where everybody almost thought it was boring to go to the moon by then. So
yes, the bad news always makes the headlines. Most people have heard of the President Kennedy's speech and Neil Armstrong's one giant leap for mankind, but the conversation between Mission Control and the capsule on Apollo 13, which we can hear on that track, was so calm under life-threatening conditions. It's quite amazing to hear this, Michel. These are all actual recordings from the mission, aren't they?
Yeah, it's all original material, and I actually got a lot. And it's nice that it's all public domain, actually. So NASA provides that you can use it as long as you credit them, and that's what I did. So I guess that's fine. But it's amazing to hear how calm they are on Apollo 13, even though it must have been, well, terrifying, because part of the spaceship blew up, they were out of oxygen, and all sorts of things went wrong. So it's amazing that they came home anyway. And I think it was just there's no use in panicking, so they just went on with their business and just focused on trying to get home. And I think that's the right way to do. Doesn't help to panic anyway, so just go on with the job, I guess.
You've developed this fantastic groove, for the want of a better word, Michel. Groove sounds very disco, doesn't it? You know what I mean. I'm talking about tracks like Apollo 7, Apollo 9, and Staging. This rhythm you create, even in the slower tracks like Apollo 13, it might be that bass sound or the solos that do it. Whatever it is, it's very, very infectious. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear you you like it so much. I on this album I tried to do a little bit more up tempo tracks than the last time on Oceanography, and I tried to make music that's both relaxing and also a bit exciting, I'm not thinking about it too much, but it's nice to hear that you like it. Thanks.
Yeah, so we're actually going back in the album now, back to track 3, and this is one of the pieces that I was talking about. This is Staging. See what I mean about that track? Brilliant. That's Staging, one of 12 tracks we're playing on today's Sunday Synth. We're listening to the music of Synth NL and the new album Apollo, and we will be back very shortly with much more.
Broadcasting from London, England, to Europe and around the world.
Your music moved me.
Nothing like a good movie.
On the World Wide Web, AR, FM.
Extracts of some of the music you've heard in the past hour here on Sunday Synth today, all of it courtesy of Synth NL, Michel van Ossenbruggen's new album Apollo. The tracks you heard were Apollo 7, Apollo 8, Apollo 9, and you're hearing in the background just now Orbit. Whatever happened to Apollo 10, you may be thinking? Well, Apollo 10 was the dress rehearsal for the actual landing, which took place a couple of months later. And Apollo 10, with astronauts Stafford, Young and Cernan on board, performed the exact manoeuvres Apollo 11 would, except for the actual landing. And you wonder how the astronauts on that flight must have thought, going so far almost within touching distance, and then having to come back, frustrating would be putting it mildly. Okay, let's get back to you underway now. This is track 7, Docking. Docking from Apollo, Synthenhell. And that was quite a laid-back track, because the actual process of docking a spacecraft must be a terrifying experience for any astronaut. But this next one is quite reflective again. This one is called Earthrise, and Michelle, when the astronauts saw the Earth for the first time from a quarter of a million miles away, it must have been a mind-blowing experience, and something that would undoubtedly live with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it must have been so amazing standing on the surface of the moon, looking back on the Earth. I just again pictured myself on there and thought, what would I feel? And I think you just can't stand there for hours and just look, we do sometimes look at the stars or the moon, I think, from the Earth, but seeing your own planet like that and knowing that all your family is there and all your friends, and it must have been an awesome moment. And I think you've heard a lot of astronauts say that they actually went into space to discover the moon, but they actually discovered the Earth, and especially the pictures, the Earthrise pictures that went around the world, and I think a lot of people look different on their own planet after seeing those pictures, and I think it made mankind feel more connected than ever. It really must have been quite an impact seeing it with your own eyes, I guess.
Okay, Michelle, thanks for the moment. Let's listen to Earthrise. Did you immerse yourself in footage of the missions before writing, you know, just to get into the mood, or was the idea of how you wanted it to sound already in your head?
No, not really. I knew what I wanted to picture. I had the story in my head, but the music always comes later. Usually, for every track, I have a picture in my mind, and sometimes I even look for a picture on the internet just have an image to compose to. Up front, I watch a lot of documentaries and stuff, and also with the kids, and it's nice to get them involved as well, and give them some new stuff to think about. But the music always flows after the picture, and sometimes I don't even know where it's coming from, but I just try to set a mood, and usually it works like this.
Okay, we'll be taking a break now, and when we come back, we'll be taking that one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hi, this is Michel from Synthenhell. You're listening to my latest album, Apollo.
And so between July 16th and 24th, 1969, Apollo 11 achieved its goal of being the first humans to walk on another world. The actual date they landed was July 20th in the area named the Sea of Tranquility. And the crew was Commander Neil Armstrong, Command Module Pilot Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and Lunar Module Pilot Michael Collins. And at 4:18 p.m. and with only 30 seconds of fuel left, Armstrong uttered these immortal words: "Houston, Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed." Armstrong and Aldrin spent a total of 21 hours, 36 minutes on the moon's surface. And the complete voyage from liftoff to splashdown in the Pacific took 8 days, 3 hours, and 18 minutes. Yeah. Now, listeners can buy the album through Groove Unlimited and various other sites, but I have to mention your website, Michelle. It must be one of the most informative sites I think I've come across. And by the way, the address is www.synth.nl. But there's so much on there, not just the music, but also the building of your studio, etc. It's really worth looking at.
Well, thanks. I put in a lot of time. I think it's nice if people listen to music that they know, well, who's behind it, where it's from, and I'm basically not just a musician, but I'm also a collector, and I just love electronics and synths, so I have quite a large collection, and I know there's a lot of people that love to look at that. I mean, I like looking at pictures of other people's studios as well, and I try to put up as much as I can, and a lot of times I get questions from people for even more, so I try to do that as well, but now the new studio, the whole construction, was a very interesting process, and I'm very happy that I documented it, because it's nice for myself to read back as well, so when I have this information, why not put it out online, I think, so... I would say go visit the website and have a look around and look at the pictures, look at also the movies and listen to the music, of course.
Yeah, regarding the building of the studio, it's almost like a diary in a way. And another section of the website is the instrument section, and an interesting bit of information was that you have over 100 synths in this studio. The sound range must be amazing.
Yes, it is. I actually do have some overlap. I have some machines that, well, kind of sound the same, but they're never really the same. So it's always difficult to explain to people what the difference is between synths. But, well, there's a lot of ways to generate sound and to work with it afterwards. Sometimes all the differences are quite big, and sometimes they are really small. But I just love those machines, and every machine has a story in my studio, and it's always difficult to part with one. But it's kind of full at the moment, so when I buy something new, I have to let go of some other one, and it's always hard because usually there's one or two sounds in there that I really love, or. There's a story to the machine, so I know I'm a big collector, and sometimes people even ask me how many synths you need to make music. Well, you could basically do it with one, but I think it's more fun with more, so yeah, why not?
Yes, absolutely, why not? And basically, you can't have enough synths. Okay, Michelle, the next track is When Things Started to Go Horribly Wrong.
And here is Apollo 13.
Michelle, I get the impression that you put a lot of thought into detail with your albums. Do you ever reach a point making an album when you think, I should just stop now, it's as good as it's going to be? Or do you always think there's something you could have done better? I guess in hindsight, that's always going to be how it is.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's more like that. I'm never completely satisfied because... Well, every time you learn new things and every time you want to go back in your track and improve that as well. I worked for 2 years on the Apollo project, and I actually have tracks being version like 38 or 40. So I think that gives you an idea of how many times I just thought, well, let's do this again. But at a certain moment, you just have to let go. And that is actually where the deadlines come in handy, because then... At a certain time, you just have to make choices, and you just have to say, okay, I can do this, but I have to leave this out, and then you just have to move on. And I guess, well, the new stuff you learn then in the process, you can just always use another time on another project. I'm too big of a perfectionist to ever be 100% happy, but at the moment I'm happy with the way this whole project went, and I'm happy with the end result. But I'm sure when I listen back to it, I'll have some new ideas again. But at a certain point, you know, just let go and go on and go on and make something new.
Yeah, I guess so. Like all perfectionists, you try to attain the impossible. Okay, next piece of music, and after the dramas of Apollo 13, this is coming back to Earth now. This track is called Re-Entry. That's Re-Entry from the new album Apollo from SynthNL, which has just been released. And Michelle, I guess now that the album is on sale and all done and dusted, I don't suppose you'll be taking things easy. What's on the horizon for SynthNL?
Well, I'm already working on some new stuff. No surprise there, I guess. Even before the end of the year, I still have to finish two things. I have to make one track for Sample CD. I also make a Christmas track every year, so I want to keep up that tradition as well. And then I'm also working on a new collaboration album together with Remy Stromer. I think that will be interesting, and hopefully it will be done somewhere next year. But well, I'm not sure yet, because well, we both are very busy, so. And also Ron asked me to do another one, and of course I can't say no to Ron, so we'll just have to see how and when. And also, yeah, some new solo stuff. I still have my classical projects laying around that I still need to finish. I also did planetarium music that, I want to release someday. And I'm also working on a new solo concept album again, but it's still very premature, so I can't say too much yet. But people that know me well, they will know that as soon as I can, I will let people know what I'm working on. But there's a lots of plans. So but I just need time to work on it all, and that's sometimes quite difficult. But we'll see what happens.
Sure, and as I said at the start of the show, you never seem to stop working, and it's not just one project at a time. It seems to be a bit of a juggling act. But I do always look forward to your Christmas track, and so to the final piece today, Michelle, Splashdown, and the end of what was at the time surely mankind's greatest technological achievement. Or was it? Just playing devil's advocate. This is track 12, Splashdown. Splashdown, the final track on the new album from SynthNL called Apollo. And we're approaching the end of the programme now, Michelle. I'd really like to thank you once again for giving us an insight into the making of the album and your views on this subject. And Apollo is available through www.groove.nl. And the music just gets better year after year. And let's hope the album is a big success for you, Michelle. And all the best for the future, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Bruce, for having me on the show again, and for the interview. I enjoyed it a lot. So, I hope the people like the music as well. And I just want to do one more thing, and that's say thank you very much to all the people that helped me on the album, like Hans, who really is like a co-producer nowadays, and he also did the mastering on the album. And of course, thanks to Ron, who also releases my music on the Groove Unlimited label. So, everybody else that just helped me with motivation and good tips and advice. So, guys, thank you very much. And of course, thanks also to everybody listening, and thanks to you. And hope to see you next time.